Welcome to In Faith Network Radio. Celebrate Christ with us as we go behind the scenes of Christian entertainment to reveal hidden blessings and share with the Christian community. In Faith Network Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to In Faith Network Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and with me tonight is my co-host, Anita Higman. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you, Sheila. Glad to be here.
Well, it's a new year. This is our first show in 2013, and you know, I know you stay pretty busy. What have you been up to?
Well, I've had two books under deadline, and so I'm excited about that. But it's kind of hard at times. So I'm still breathing, so all is well. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the weather here before we move on to our guest. It has been in the Houston area in the 30s at night, and that's very unusual for Houston. I mean, that's kind of a hard thing for us to take. But I heard that you all are having some really rough weather up there where you're at. So what do you have weather-wise, Sheila?
You know, it's Kentucky. It's cold. It's gray. You know, but they always say if you don't like the weather in Kentucky, wait 5 minutes and it'll change. I'm hoping they're predicting that we're going to get down to the teens here pretty soon, and I'm hoping that that's going to change. But now, tell me, did you have any New Year's resolutions?
Well, no. You know what? I don't do the whole resolution thing. I go ahead and make a list of goals, and I've got them taped to my closet door right now as we speak. So I do goals, not resolutions, because I figure I'll break the resolutions and I'll keep the goals. It's a little different.
We're two peas in a pod because I felt the same way. It's like, no, not resolutions because, you know, you set those and then you break them and, you know, it's like, no, I'm like you. I think I'm looking at some long-term goals and I just want to finish up a couple of my books. I know my agent would really like me to do that as well. So that's pretty much it. I'm going to try and be better about meeting my deadlines. But I'll tell you what I am excited about. You know, it's a new year, and we have an amazing guest. You know, Renee Guttridge is the author of 17 novels, including her latest releases. There's Heart of the Country, Escapement, Possession, and Listen from Tyndale House Publishers, which is an amazing publishing house. And she's also known as a comedy writer, which I love. Her latest comedic novel is Never the Bride, which is winner of the 2010 Carol Award for Best Women's Fiction. So that's amazing and wonderful. The other comedy titles from Waterbrook, and I think it's
Multnomah.
Publishers include the Boo series, Boo, Boo Hoo, Boo Hiss, Boo Humbug. Okay, just saying that makes me want to laugh. And the Occupational Hazards series. Renee is married to Sean, a musician and worship leader, and she has two children. Welcome to the show, Renee.
Oh, thank you. I am so glad to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. I think this is going to be a really fun show. I have to ask you, though, because we were just talking about, you know, the new year, New Year's resolutions. Did you have any New Year's resolutions? Do you have some goals for this year?
Well, I'm kind of with you two. I'm hard enough on myself all year round. You know, I just starting out the new year with something that's probably not achievable immediately just doesn't ever go well for me. So actually, usually at the beginning of the year, I try to focus on what God would want me to work on or do or know about Him through the year. And there's kind of a running theme. About like this year, I felt like He really wants me to trust Him more. And so, you know, that kind of takes the focus off me because I fail all the time and puts the focus on Him, and that's better for me.
Well, you know, I think it's really easy to say, you know, you need to, you know, I really want to trust in God more. But when you take that seriously and you really boil that down to the essence of what it truly means, it can be difficult. You know, it's really a matter of, you know, you really truly have to turn everything over to Him like a free fall. So I think
I found that it's easier if I stop focusing, like stop focusing on myself and focus on how He's going to help me. You know, because I know I'm going to fail. I do almost every time there's a test. I somehow fail it. So it's nice to know that he's perfect.
Yes. That's a great, you know, that's a great goal. And, you know, being more God-focused than self-focused, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, before we get too far, let me let our listeners know that they can chat live here with us, and the chat session is open. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to write those in, and we'll get those addressed. You can also call into the show, which is really fun. The number is 646-200-4071. You're welcome to call in and chat with us and ask some questions. I know a lot of people are not able to call in live or listen live, and we have a lot of people who download the podcast. So after the show, you can always download it or come over to infaithnetwork.com. I know a lot of you do that. We'll have a blog that will accompany this podcast. And, you know, if you have a question or a comment, absolutely, just post it there, and we promise that we'll get that seen or get that answered. We'll get Renee over there to post something if you have a question, so don't be shy. And I know a lot of our listeners like to check out our guest website while we chat or while they're listening to the podcast. So I want to give that to you right up front. It's www.reneegutteridge.com, and I want to spell that out for you real quick, reneegutteridge.com. So I know a lot of people do that, and you're going to want to go check out the website. It's a really nice website. I like to call them coffee colors. I like the brown, and you can see the typewriter keys. I mean, it's really like a soothing colors there. But I really love that. I'm going to go ahead and get started, Renee. You write both suspense and comedy. Is that hard to switch back and forth to those very different genres?
Well, it's not difficult. It's helpful, actually, for me. Of the two genres, comedy is the harder one for me. And so typically after writing one or two comedic novels, I really need to switch over to something else. And I love suspense. I love reading suspense and writing it. And so it's good for my brain. I don't know if I have like a dark side and a light side or multiple personalities. I'm not sure what's going on, but it just works for me. And I've always been the kind of, like, I love to read any genre. If it's a good book, I'll read it. You know, I'm not just, like, stuck as a reader in one genre. It's probably why I write in different genres, too. I just love storytelling. So, you know, whether it falls into this or that genre, I don't typically worry too much about it. I just want to tell a good story.
Well, let me kind of flip that question, then. Does working in two genres confuse your readers, or are they happy to buy both suspense and comedy?
Well, it really does depend on the reader. I know I have readers that only read my comedies and readers that only read my suspense, and then I've got people that do both, and I think it's typically just what kind of reader they are. You know, if they're just a one-genre reader, then they're just going to stick with that genre, and that's okay with me. You know, I've been doing this for a while, and in the beginning it was really difficult. My first three books were all different genres. I did a suspense, and then I did a women's fiction, and then I did a comedy. So it's taken me a long time to establish myself as a multi-genre writer, and it's been a lot of hard work, especially for publishers and agents involved, but it's been worth it, I think. I think that now, or hopefully, what I've established myself as a good storyteller, which is what I always, you know, wanted to do and wanted to be. So hopefully that's come true.
Well, you know, you're talking, you said something about, you know, the comedies could be a little harder. Tell me something, you know, how did you get to be so funny? Did you work hard at it, or does it come naturally for you?
Well, I can tell you I am not naturally funny. It does not come easy. I I'm the person that thinks of the funny comeback line 20 minutes later. This room's empty. And I'm like, dang, that would have been funny. But it works well for writing because I can sit in front of my computer and think up the punchline. But really how I got good at comedy was when I was in my early 20s, I got hired by a church, a large downtown church in Oklahoma City, to be their director of drama. And so I really didn't have a lot of experience writing for the stage, and so I just was writing these short sketches, and I did a couple of dramatic ones, and they were horrible. I mean, people, I just didn't feel any response, and so I tried something funny, and I got the best response, and then I did that for 5 years. I wrote two separate sketches a week, and they were almost all comedies, and I could get immediate audience feedback. You know, when a joke died, I knew it immediately because nobody was laughing. And when a joke was a hit, I saw it immediately. And so that taught me probably more than anything else that I've done how to write comedy well. And it was just invaluable. And now, you know, I just sit in a cave and write and there's nobody laughing behind my back or anything. I wish I did have that. But I had enough experience early on to kind of know it's going to work.
See, I don't know if I'm funny or not, but I crack myself up. And I think there's something to be said for that. I mean,
wait a minute, Sheila. That sounds kind of scary when I'm thinking about that.
Yeah, I tend to laugh at my own jokes, even when no one else is laughing. So, you know, take that as you can. It really is hard to do comedy, I think. So, you know, it's a gift. It's a gift when I think, you know, when you say something funny and you do have that reaction, you know, does that really connect with you, Renee? I mean, do you like really feel that? It's like when everybody's cracking up and you feel that, okay, yeah, this really was funny beyond me.
Well, I will tell you, I've never done drugs, but I would say that it's like a high. when I get that laughter, I mean, it just like feeds me. Like, I just want more and more of it. I want to make them laugh, you know, more and more and more. So, you know, that was early on when I was working for the church, but I just craved it. And, you know, I did one sketch that was so disastrous. My poor husband starred in it. It was the writing that was awful. And, you know, people, they walked out and they were kind of like glaring at me, like they were personally insulted about how bad the sketch was. And, you know, I just learned as much from failing as I did from doing well, probably more so from failing. And as painful as that was, you know, it was just invaluable. And I'm thankful for it now, but I used to just walk away cringing and hiding, you know, after disasters. At least when people are reading a book now, I'm not like present right there to see them, you know.
Now, I know Anita is anxious to ask some questions too, so I'm going to hand the mic over to her for a little bit. Anita, you ready?
I am so ready, Renee. I have been wanting to ask you this question for a really long time, so get ready. I have heard a very interesting story through the grapevine that somehow your first novel, Ghostwriter, and how it got published, is the story behind that. So did you really win a contract by beating an editor at basketball, or is that just an urban legend?
Well, yeah, I think that story has grown and grown from the beginning. The way the story goes, for real, is that I was on a writer's cruise. It was my first kind of big conference where there was going to be an editor or agent there, and so we were at the table, and we started talking about sports, and I said, you know, I play basketball, and this editor, his name is Steve Bobby, he's looking at me, because I'm like 5'2", I'm also pregnant at the time, and he's like, whatever. I was like, no, I was really good in high school, and they were like, no way, and I was like, well, come on, let's go, you know, play, and so we played horse, and I beat him 3 times straight in that on the top deck of a cruise ship. But it didn't really have anything to do with getting the book published. It was on that cruise where I was pitching all of my stories, and it was just a funny story because I'd come very prepared, and I had all the stories and all of my proposals ready, and I probably had probably 6 proposals and 10 story ideas. So I'm going through, you know, all these I'm pitching them to, and you guys know, you've pitched books. It's a terrifying experience. And so every time he's like, nah, Planting Rivers just came out of a book like that, with a book like that. And then, you know, I pitch another one, and he's like, nah, done too many times. And I mean, it was a disaster. And I get to the bottom, he's like, well, you have anything else? And I didn't have this on my sheet, but I said, well, I've kind of been toying with this idea called Ghostwriter. And I said, and I kind of pitched it very vaguely, a really terrible pitch, I would think. And he's like, that's the one I want to see. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I didn't have anything with me. I hadn't even really written anything down. So that's how that story goes for real. But well, there is quite an urban legend to go with it.
That is really funny, Renee, because I did hear the story differently. So it must have grown into something completely different over the years as I heard it. But that's a good story.
And well, I do, it's fun. Yeah, and also there's the part of the story is that I was pregnant, but when I've heard it told, I'm like 8 months pregnant. Well, I was not 8 months pregnant. I was about 11 weeks pregnant, and I was so nauseous from pregnancy, and I was also seasick. I had both those things going, so it was kind of harsh for me.
Wow, I never heard that part, Renee. That definitely makes it more dramatic, yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Ghostwriter. I read this years ago, and I really enjoyed it. I don't remember a whole lot about it, though, because this is one of your, well, your first book. So, but it was wonderful. So where did you get the idea for that?
You know, that was one of those, I wish I had a better dramatic story for it, you know, as far as behind the scenes. But literally, I was in Denver on an airplane, and we were being de-iced, and we were just sitting on the runway forever. And I was just thinking, as novelists do, we do a lot of thinking, and I saw this word ghostwriter, and I thought, man, that would make a great title for a book. And so I formed this idea from the title. I was like, I need a story to go with it. So I just sat there and just thought about, you know, what if a guy started receiving this ghostly manuscript, or what's a ghostly manuscript? Well, maybe it has all the secrets of his life, and he doesn't know where it comes from. And it just, you know, novelists do, we just start spinning it along, and eventually it became a full-blown book.
Well, I'm glad it did, too. And then it moved you on to success and moved you on in your career, and then now we're going to talk a little bit about more recent books. So I'm sure fans would like to know, are there going to be any more occupational hazard books?
Well, not at the moment, but we are actually getting ready to make a movie out of the third occupational hazard book. That one was called Skid. There was Scoop, Snitch, and Skid. And as you know, there was a possibility of 7 books in that series, and we only did 3. But the third one, Skid, we are actually getting ready to shoot in March. It's a small indie film we're doing here in Oklahoma, but I'm really, really excited about it. And I'm just working with a great director, and I wrote the script. We just got a great set of actors involved. And so fans of the Occupational Hazard series hopefully will have a movie soon that they'll really enjoy.
Well, many congratulations on it. That's always exciting for an author because it's kind of unusual. I mean, people think automatically a book will get made into a movie, but actually there's very few, so that's actually quite an honor. But we're going to talk about the movie in just a minute, but I wanted to know first that the Boo books were super popular. In fact, I have an Aunt Renee who just is such a fan of yours, and so I'm sure she'd love to know, are there going to be any more of the super popular Boo books?
Well, I think eventually there will be. I've contemplated, I stepped away from it for a while. You know, I did 4 of them and really felt a good closure there when I finished with Boo Humbug, and I kind of felt like I told all the stories that needed to be told then. But as I've distanced myself from it for a few years, I've, you know, begun to miss my characters and miss Scary Indiana, and so I've got some ideas that are brewing, and I think that I could safely say eventually I'll write another Boo book.
Well, I'm sure readers will be happy about that. And also, now to talk about movies again, I read on your site that you were trying to get Boo made into a movie also. So is there any recent news on that project?
Well, you know, in the movie business, there's always recent news that never really goes anywhere. It's a very difficult thing to make a movie. I mean, any movie that's made, I just look at it and I just think that's a minor miracle right there. Any movie, there's so many people working on it, so much money involved, and it's just a hard process. We've got a terrific team together for Boo. The script was written by Andrea Nassfell. And it's wonderful. So we're really waiting on God's timing. We're hoping 2013 will be the year that this project moves forward. But I don't have any imminent news. But if I get anything big, I will definitely be posting about it.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Yeah, glad to know that. Well, now we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about your own experiences and how you might use those to infuse your novels with those actual real experiences. Does that happen to you, or do you bring up a lot of just from imagination?
Well, it depends on the subject matter. You know, when I'm writing about serial killers, I do not have a lot of experience in that. So that comes from the imagination. I've always had love for law enforcement. And when I was in college trying to find my way, one of the things that I seriously considered was going into the FBI. And I obviously did not do that. But I've always had a real respect and interest in law enforcement. So those types of stories, my suspense stories, typically come out of just my own curiosity about things in that area. Some of my comedies probably are a little more personal just because it's life experience that's funny. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, especially something like My Life as a Doormat, which was my Women of Faith book that I wrote, that, you know, definitely came out of a time in my life when I was struggling with standing up for myself. And so, you know, that one definitely probably came from experience in my own life. And not all of it did. You know, I definitely used some imagination there too. But I think there's always a piece of me in every character, and there's a part of the story that resonates with me on a personal level, although that might be abstract. So I guess that kind of answers that question.
Well, yeah, pretty well. But what I was thinking of is, obviously you're not connecting to a killer of any kind, but as far as suspense in general, though, have you been in situations that have been extremely suspenseful in your life that you're feeding on those, those experiences being truly frightened and those kinds of things?
Well, I definitely have. I was part of the Oklahoma City bombing. I missed that by God's grace by merely 2 or 3 minutes. I should have been right in front of the building when it exploded. I was on my way to work, and my mom had called and asked me to stop by her work to grab some papers, and that saved my life. I turned on to Fifth Street with the first responding fire truck to the bombing. So that's how close it was for me. And I was down there for several hours trying to help people, just, you know, that whole thing that unfortunately we know too well now in America. But I know what it feels like to be in peril. I know, part of when I wrote this last book that I did, Possession, which was my last suspense book, that part of what we explore in there is post-traumatic stress disorder. I was very fortunate not to have that after the Oklahoma City bombing, and I really attribute that to the grace of God, but I wanted to explore it. And there were some things, like, for many, many years after the Oklahoma City bombing, every time I'd hear an ambulance siren, I would get tears in my eyes, and it was just an automatic response. It was strange. So I guess I explored that a little bit in Possession. But I do have a funny story about my first book, Ghostwriter. It kind of involves an almost affair with a couple of the characters. And after that book came out, I had an aunt call me to ask me if my marriage was okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to explain it was completely fictional. I mean, you know, but she's very worried. Out of my own experience, so.
And I'm very glad that that's right, and that there was no problem. But that's very interesting. The Oklahoma City bombing. My word, I didn't know that about you, Renee. That is an incredible story, and I can see how you would be able to write about that with great passion. Well, we're going to switch gears. We're almost running out of time here, but this has been a wonderful interview, and I wanted to know about your kids at home. You've got to. That must be really hard, juggling being an author, being a mom. How do you do that day in and day out?
Well, you know, I had some people ask me that before. You know, how do you do it so well? And I'm like, well, how do you know I do it well? You haven't seen my house. But I do try very hard. One of my big things is to be present wherever I am. So, you know, if I'm with my children, I'm present in that moment. If I'm writing my book, I'm present in that moment. That's really helped me to just juggle. It's much easier now. My kids are older. They're 13 and 10. When they were babies, I'm not sure how I made it through. That whole early period is a complete blur. My first novel sold. I hadn't written it yet, Ghostwriter. It sold off of a proposal when my son was 5 weeks old. I had to write that thing 7 months. And I tell you, it was by God's grace that I got that thing done, because I don't know any other way. I was so sleep deprived and everything. But
I bet you used nap times and bedtime a lot.
Oh,
yeah.
Big time, yes. And my husband was extremely helpful.
Well, Sheila, I know that we're almost out of time, but I think you had several more questions, so I'm going to hand that mic right back to you.
If I could fit in just a couple of more, that would be great. Renee, I know a lot of our listeners, you know, are interested in, you know, how much of the book is Christian based. Could you just maybe talk a little bit about, you know, what makes your novels Christian?
Well, it's a good question, and there's many ranges in inspirational fiction for that. For me, you know, I write from a Christian perspective. I really try not to be preachy. I really believe storytelling is the best navigator, and that the scenes will flow through story. So that's kind of how I approach everything. But I want to always give hope to readers, and I always want there to be a purpose for writing the book. You know, I don't want to just be writing fluff. I want it to mean something.
Now, tell me, we only have a couple of minutes, but if you could tell new writers out there just one thing, one piece of advice, what would it be?
Well, we call it BIC in the writing industry, and it stands for butt in chair. And you have to get your behind in the chair and write. And it's the hardest part of writing. Literally, it's the hardest part. But once you start practicing and make yourself a schedule and write every day, you'll get there.
Oh, that is so true. I talk to a lot of first-time writers, and they're so worried about their promotion, and they haven't even gotten through their first chapter. So I think that's fantastic advice. Now, tell me real quickly, how can readers find you? Where are you at online where they can go and interact and find out more about you?
Come find me on Facebook. That's the easiest way, and that connects you to all the other places I am on the Internet. But Facebook is a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun on my page and do giveaways, so come join me there.
All right, so on Facebook, and of course we've already given out your website, and people will be able to find that. We'll make sure that those links are up there on infaith.com, so people can find you easily with one click of the button, so to speak. Thank you so much, Renee, for spending time with us tonight.
Oh, thank you, ladies. You're so fun. I really enjoyed it.
And thank you, Anita, for finding us such a great guest.
Absolutely. I had a lot of fun, Sheila.
And, of course, I want to thank our listeners for tuning in, and hope you'll tune in again. Don't forget to check out InFaithNetwork.com tomorrow for the blog and the links and a chance to comment and ask questions. I'm Sheila English, your host, and until next time, may God rock your world with joy. Thank you, everybody.
In Faith Network Radio. Blessings through entertainment. www.infaithnetwork.com. Come join our ever-growing Christian community.